Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we are back
Greetings, Star Wars fans.
from a galaxy far, far, far away.
Yeah, double feature.
We are hitting you with episode 84. Of
84.
14,605 and counting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
84.
we got we're gonna recap Bad Batch
Episode.
episode 12.
The
Yep.
Outpost.
The Outpost. We got Mando episode 2 of season 3
Boom,
to talk about.
boom.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun,
Now,
dun.
I told you before the show we got on air that I had two big things that I want to
Yeah.
start the show with. All
You did, and then you refused to tell me, so
right.
I'm very intrigued.
Here we go. So
I'm sitting down.
I'm going to do my best rendition of Hot Take Jake here. All right. So you know how Hot Take Jake went to he went to Hollywood studios and he did all Star Wars jazz and all that stuff, right? So I was on Facebook the other day, and you know how these ads pop up on Facebook, and then I see an ad for the Richmond Symphony. I'm in Virginia, so Richmond, Virginia, right? The Richmond Symphony. I'm like, what the hell is an ad for the Richmond Symphony popping up on my Facebook? Yeah, I'm like, you know how Facebook and the ads and social media, your ads are geared to what you search for and all that good stuff, right? So then I look, Richmond Symphony pops Star Wars, The Return of the Jedi in concert.
No kidding.
Saturday, May 6th, 2023.
Damn.
May 6th, that is the weekend before my birthday.
What?
So I'm like, you know what? You know what? I'm going to treat myself to an
Yes.
early birthday gift.
Treat
And
yourself.
I am going to the Star Wars Return of the Jedi in concert performed by the Richmond Symphony. And I've never been to a symphony before, or orchestra, or anything like
Ooh.
that. But I've heard like anytime that there's like a Star Wars thing in like symphony and all that, it's freaking amazing. So I'm like, you know
Well, I
what?
mean, John Williams, so
Is
that's
I'm like, you know what? I'm going.
Pretty awesome.
And they're gonna have so like they have like the the special effects and scenes and stuff going on the screens while they're playing the music. It's gonna be outstanding. I can't wait.
So Val and I have done this twice now. I'm probably gonna end up correcting myself later and saying it was more than that, but there's two that I can remember. Both were the Cleveland Orchestra. One of them was at Blossom, and it was they did the Little Mermaid
Okay.
with the video, with the movie on screen.
Yep.
And the other one was the Cleveland Orchestra, and it was at the Severance Hall. I believe it's at Severance Hall.
Yeah.
And it was Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ooh.
That one was awesome. Little
Yeah.
Mermaid was really good too. I'm not gonna lie. I mean
Yeah.
that was solid, but I mean Nightmare Before Christmas was that
Yeah.
was top notch. They do a fantastic job. And actually, what Val likes going, is it Mall B? I think Mall B in the summer they do like a 4th of July fireworks, and the orchestra will play on Mall B. Like a concert, and then when the fireworks go off, they'll play with the fireworks.
Oh,
So,
nice.
yeah, if so, if you're, I think you're in for a treat. It's going to be pretty epic.
Oh, I'm excited.
You're going to be walking in there, and they're going to be like, "Sir, you can't bring an eggplant into this arena."
Like, I'm gonna be like, so what do you want
that's
me to do?
No
then?
Eggplant.
So yeah, I saw that and I'm like, you know what? This didn't pop up on my Facebook for a reason. And like I said, it's the weekend before my birthday. It's 4 days before my birthday. So I said, you know what?
Nice.
Let's go. So that is going to happen. All right.
Yeah. So that's number one.
That's number one. Number two.
Oh, boy.
Is I'm going to give you a hot take.
Oh, whoa.
Right out the gate.
Now, I'm not going to interrupt your hot take, but I'm going to tell you that I also have one.
Ooh, okay.
So I'm going to let you go ahead. And if for some reason your hot take is my hot take, I will tell you. I'll be honest.
It's probably not.
If it's not, then I'll give you mine.
This is just a general hot take.
Okay.
All right. It's not really specific hot take. It's a general hot take. All right. So first of all, this month of March is outstanding. We get Bad Batch and Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesdays for the month of March. All right. This week, here's my hot take. Brace yourself. I believe that this week's Bad Batch was better than this week's Mando.
Mm-hmm.
Let that marinate for a second.
Okay.
In your mind. I believe this week's Bad Batch is better than this week's Mando. And that's not saying Mando was terrible. Mando was awesome this week.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying that Bad Batch, this is probably my favorite episode of Bad Batch of the season.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and 100% agree with you because I think this is the best episode of Bad Batch we've had.
Ooh, are you saying overall, like all the season?
Let me say.
I can say definitely
this season
two.
For sure.
Yes,
this is the best episode of season two.
Yes.
Oh,
I don't know, because the first episode ever, season one, that episode was pretty
this,
lit, litty. Yeah,
I'm gonna. Not having season one fresh in my mind. I mean,
isn't fresh in my mind either, but I just remember like episode one, we were like, holy bleep.
Yeah. Episode one was solid.
Yes.
I think I may extend and say of the whole show so far. Now your hot take was not my hot take. My hot take was show specific. Yours was
that was a
outside
general
the
hot
realm
take.
Of the show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. When I was waiting for the what'd you think, because that was what I was gonna say, that this episode was the best of the season.
Oh yeah, hands
down.
Down.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, it does involve Omega.
Oh man.
I'm throwing shots in here. Ba-da-ba-zinga. Yeah.
This episode, okay. I think I mentioned this the last time we saw Crosshair. About Kallus from Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
This was the episode that was Kallus and Zeb. This is it. This is like parallel to that. This is very much when he finally realizes, oh shit.
Yeah.
They really do not care.
So you know how we talked about last week, season one Mando.
Yeah.
Like during the opening crawl, it was the armor hander.
Mm-hmm.
Hander. Damn, I can't talk tonight. The armorer's
hammer,
right? Versus the normal music that they do during the crawl.
Yeah.
In this week's Bad Batch, when they were doing the opening title, like it wasn't the normal, like it was something, it was more ominous music.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit. Like, oh, something, whenever there's something different like that.
Yeah.
Like they're highlighting, like, okay, pay attention to this, kids, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, we're in for a ride. And then, you know, seeing Crosshair pretty much in the opening scene, I'm like, oh, Crosshair episode.
Yeah.
Yes, let's go.
Yeah.
And
now, as my call sign for tonight is Lieutenant Deadass, because in my best Chicago impression, he had it coming. And I don't usually condone murder, but son of a bitch had it coming. And when he was like, what was his name? Was his name Lieutenant? He just said Lieutenant. He was like, Lieutenant. And he turned around. He's like, he's going to shoot him. Bam.
Yeah.
Shot him.
Yeah.
Dead. Damn.
Yeah. That was awesome. So this is like you said, this was the Callus Zeb episode.
Yep.
If you're not familiar with Rebels, do your homework. All right.
You should have done it already by now. But do your homework.
But yeah, this is the point where Crosshair reaches his breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's several points in this episode, right, where he's reached a breaking point.
Yeah.
Like one, obviously at the end where Mayday dies. And he's like, he could have saved them.
Not only did he die, he carried him
back
from an avalanche without his helmet on. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I know how I feel with my bald head when I go out in cold weather and feel a cold breeze across my head. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, that was ridiculous. Carried him all the way there and was like, help him, he needs medical attention. And the lieutenant's like, you failed your mission. And he just dies laying there. I'm like,
yeah. That was the big one. I mean, obviously that was the big one. There's other little ones. Like there's one where at the beginning where he's listening to the clones being forced into retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's kind of looking like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Right. There's one where Mayday, you know, fix right before Mayday, like fix the mine so he can step off. You know, he tells, you know, Crosshair tells Mayday, like, hey, you know, that dude was dead weight, like the rebel or whatever that they found dead.
Yeah.
And Mayday was like, hey, basically, why the hell did his crew leave him? And Crosshair is like, you know, that was dead weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he steps on the mine, Crosshair does. And Mayday is like, what was that about dead weight again? And he's like, I think that was another point where he's like, all right, you know, maybe, you know, being a dick for the Empire isn't the way to go.
Right.
And he probably got reminded of his brothers from his Bad Batch right around there too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, from the aspect of him saying, he's dead weight, and then realizing... Oh
yeah, I'm dead weight right now too.
That's kind of what I got mad at my brothers for.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this guy's dead weight. Oh wait, that's why I was mad at them, thinking they did that to me.
Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah. The other big thing too was seeing that the cargo they were guarding was armor for stormtroopers.
Yep. Another point
that they couldn't use. They didn't have resources. They weren't getting help. They were dwindling. And this giant D-bag walks in and is like, oh, you can't even take care of your own people? And he's like, seriously? I've been asking you for how long? For for supplies, for reinforcements? And yeah.
This episode was very dark, by how dark the Empire is.
You know, and as much as Crosshair, you know, okay, he takes him out. Yeah, he deserved that. You know, he didn't deserve that. He deserved, like, to be shuffled out into the snow and have one of those, they called him an ice vulture, have one of those ice vultures scoop him up.
Yeah.
That's what he deserved.
Yeah. I mean, this was a really dark episode about the Empire.
The last one was pretty dark too, in like kind of a good way, in terms of like what they were showing. And it really led into this one because my hot take, it's probably not a hot take.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably more like common sense. I mean, at least I feel it is. Uh-huh. That what we're gonna, where we're going with this now is Dr. Hemlock now has Crosshair.
Yep.
He ultimately wants Nalase to get in there and start doing her clone thing.
Yep.
To get Nalase to do that, they need Omega.
Yep.
To get Omega, they need the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
And they know they're out there.
Yeah.
And now they got one of the Bad Batch dudes, and they're going to just kind of dangle them out there like bait, like, hey, come get your dude. And sorry. Hey, come get your dude.
Come get your dude.
And Hunter's going to be like, I got to get out of here, Manatee. And you're just going to jet off after Crosshair. They're just going to go rescue Crosshair and put themselves in danger to try and rescue him. And that's going to be like the end of the season. They're going to get him back.
I was thinking that too. This is a total setup for a rescue effort.
Yeah,
you know, they're going to, toward the end of the season,
they're going to get him back. they're getting Crosshair back. We're getting the team back together at the end of the season.
We're getting the band back together. Yeah,
they're totally getting the band back together. Next season's going to be complete. The first order of business when Crosshair is back is going to be like, get rid of Sid.
Yeah.
He's going to take one look at her and be like, you're useless. Why do you keep taking orders from this one, Hunter?
Can I get a little more Frank Castle here? That's probably my favorite.
Gotta get out of here, Manatee. Speaking of,
who's Manatee?
Hunter. Who's this Minotti character you speak of? he's coming back for Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah.
John Bernthal.
Yeah. Quick side note, though. Apparently, the actor who played Foggy and the actress who played Karen, they're not in. Yeah,
Deborah Ann Woll and... Yeah. Ooh, I can't remember his name now.
Yeah, so just a quick aside, we'll be back to Star Wars. Like I saw that and I'm like, all right, they can get away with not having Karen Page. They can say, oh yeah, she got a new job somewhere and yada yada, whatever. But not having Foggy. Yeah. Like that's gonna be a little rough. So especially I'm thinking maybe they recast.
Oh God, I hope not.
Maybe they recast because they recast. I saw an article today.
Vanessa Fisk.
They recast Vanessa.
I was just gonna say that.
So maybe they recast.
Maybe they do, but God, that. Ugh.
I mean, it'd kind of be weird, but I mean,
yeah.
That's gonna be tough without Foggy, not having him at all.
Well, they're going the route too of doing a lot more courtroom stuff, and that's prime for Foggy to get into the courtroom.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, how would you do that without Foggy?
I'm real Foggy on this whole situation, to be honest.
Ooh, I saw what you did there. Yeah, so, I heard another, did you see that Jenna Ortega is going to have a role?
Yes. Wait a minute. Shoot.
I mean, I'm all for that.
Yeah, well, me too. not gonna lie.
I mean, if they want to recast Karen with her, hey, I'm good with it. Deborah who?
Yeah. Deborah Ann who? What? No. Did it say who?
No,
that she was going to be.
They just said a significant role
in Daredevil.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
could that be?
So
I'm trying to think of Daredevil adjacent characters. Why does my mind immediately go to like Black Cat? I don't know why, that's my first like knee-jerk reaction. That's the first thing I thought was Black Cat.
Well, you know, the MCU, maybe they'll sometimes they like to make up new people. So
that's true. I mean, Black Cat's a real character, but that's also Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And
well, but the MCU, they, you know, hey, whatever.
They'll probably do
we'll take a solo, character from anywhere.
They'll do a solo movie.
No, let's put Cat MODOK and, in here.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Definitely. So. I'm curious to see what that role would be if it was in, especially if it was in that. Unless yeah. it's like, who would it be? I'm gonna have to do some digging. I wanna do some like Daredevil character digging.
You're gonna go down. You're gonna go down the rabbit hole, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm definitely gonna go down a rabbit hole later.
Yeah, but
we got total aside there.
Yep, total aside. But yeah, because
I did my Frank Castle impression. That's why.
Yeah, but yeah, we're set up for the rescue at the end.
I have to say too, in looking back at the Dr. Hemlock character, I see and hear Jeremy Renner. Pull up a picture of the character. I think you'll see what I'm talking about. I think he totally looks like Jeremy Renner. Like they were like, let's make this Dr. Hemlock character. Whose face should we use? And then they turn around and there's a poster in the back that's got Jeremy Renner. Like, hey, that guy. Make his face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
His Ronin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the hair, especially the hair, the way it
yeah,
is.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. And, okay. and the way his voice was too, it sounded like that menacing voice, kind of like if he was talking low like that.
Yeah.
Sounds getting real low.
Sounds getting.
I forgot to. You know, I could have used that probably once or twice this week.
That's my new line when people try to like
get you to do something when you're about to.
Yeah.
Clock
hey,
out.
Hey, hey, big guy. Hey. Sounds real low. Real low here.
I'm just gonna wait for someone to ask me to do something, and I'm gonna like squint my eyes and look out the window. Like, hey, sun's getting real low.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, by far my favorite episode.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, this was a good one, and I have to point this out too.
Uh oh.
Star Wars very specifically, because I feel like they can get away with this because it's like, it's space and it's just, there's so many planets and so many alien races and stuff like that. Yet, whenever they want to show like some inconsequential conflict, they just pick some random alien race to just get their asses handed to them. Like they get to this outpost and there are these like random raiders, they call them, and they're these like lizard like alienoid, not even like humanoid alien lizards or whatever creatures on this ice planet that they're attacking, and it's like they're not even human, so you know, it's just weird. It's always just like, hey, let's attack the alien. Oh, they're scary. Yeah. You know, they always do that. They really, they do that a lot. And they did it in Mando this week. On Mandalore.
Yeah.
Nice segue, by the way, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. That planet, though, that on Bad of it reminded me of Hoth. You know? And it reminded
a bit,
the whole them walking through the snowstorm. It kind of reminded me of Luke and Han.
I got a very big Luke and Han vibe there, too.
Yes,
especially when it turned daybreak and you saw those transports rolling in.
Yeah, difference is,
hey, maybe they're gonna help them.
The difference is, you know, they're not coming to help, they're just going and doing their thing.
Yeah, they're zooming by and they're like, oh, there's a couple guys down there, yeah, they'll be okay.
And that's the thing about the Empire, the big line at the end, like, Mayday was expendable, and so are you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another point where Crosshair realizes, like, oh shit, bleep you.
And you'll think twice before being so disrespectful to me, or you'll become expendable too. That's what
you said. With the Empire, like, everything is expendable to the Empire and the Emperor if it doesn't serve the purpose.
So does that make the Bad Batch, the Star Wars universe, expendables? Not if you want to see, if you want to see Hunter getting out there like, they said we gotta get this mission, we gotta get some money in here because we're getting kind of hungry. That was my Stallone, by the way.
Well, I mean, Hunter does look like Stallone.
That's why I did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I guess, yeah.
And then you got Wrecker over there. He's like,
yes, because I mean, with Sid, like, they're definitely expendable in her eyes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, totally, you're stuck on you're stuck on this planet without your ship. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, you guys got out of there fine. See, I knew you'd be fine. No, you didn't know you'd be fine. You just didn't care. She's expendable.
Yeah. Yeah, they are the Star Wars galaxy's expendables.
Yeah.
Right.
So now we got, what is this? This is Clone Wars season 10, right?
Yes.
Because there was 8 seasons of Clone Wars. Yes. Yeah. So it's Clone Wars season 10 or Expendables season 2. Everyone look at it.
Yeah. But so we're set up for a rescue. Yeah. I think Rex and Echo join up. You know, they're going to need some help.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Rex and Echo are going to join up. We're going to have this big family reunion. And yeah.
And then they're going to get pinned down and you're like, Sid, call in reinforcements. She's going to be like, I'm busy gambling over here. You take care of it yourself.
Do you practice these voices?
No, I don't. I was just like, I want to talk like Sid. Let's do it. And it just came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's talent, ladies and gentlemen. So.
Oh, well, thank you.
But yeah, Empire, Dark, Crosshair. Yeah. He's turned the corner.
Crosshair's
done. And he's captured. So,
yeah.
But all in all, very, very outstanding episode.
Yeah. And here I am this whole time like, oh, man, Mayday and Crosshair are going to bust out of there and they're going to be a team and they're going to get back. No, he's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was too bad because he was a pretty cool character.
He was a cool character. I mean, the way he talked to the lieutenant was awesome. Like, how many missions have you led?
Right.
And even the lieutenant's like, it's what I thought.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
You're a little snazzy there, Mayday, aren't you?
Yeah, and go show your new boss around the area.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, you have the title, buddy, but you ain't crap.
Yeah. And he was like, Commander. He corrected him. He was like, Commander.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Throwing around insults all over the place.
That one line came back, good soldiers follow orders.
Mm-hmm.
It came back. Like, it was like, yeah, we were good soldiers. We followed orders. And what did we get for it? That was another point. That line came back, and Crosshair was like, because that was his line.
Good that was his only argument.
Good soldiers to his, follow orders. I can't do Crosshair.
To his brothers.
Yeah.
It was his only argument with them.
Yep.
Good soldiers follow orders. And then he gets it thrown back in his face and then unexpectedly, and he's like, something wrong, Crosshair? Nothing. He's done. He's like, you know what, this empire, he tried to like sneak, he's like kind of like, I think I'm about done with this, and then he's like captured, like, oh shit.
Yeah. So
we still don't know where Cody really is. We haven't seen Cody. We've seen Rex.
Yeah.
Cody went AWOL, so maybe he'll roll in with some cavalry or something like that. I don't know.
Seeing Rex again. Rex and Echo again.
We're going to need some big guns to get Crosshair out of there.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I wonder if they're probably going to throw us a double pump fake in reverse somehow.
Oh, the classic.
Because they got to lead us into season 3.
The classic.
We're gonna get something.
Here's what we're gonna get. Okay, I just thought of this. Uh-oh. Here's what we're gonna get. They're gonna get Crosshair, but Omega's gonna get taken away.
Yeah, there's gonna be something. There's gonna be something at the end.
So they're gonna go to get their full team back, and they're gonna have to rescue Omega again. They're gonna have to spend a whole season rescuing Omega. After they spent episode to episode rescuing her each time, they've had plenty of practice now. They're gonna have to go a whole season of rescuing her because they're gonna take her, because Nala Se is gonna have to do whatever she's doing clone wise because that's got to progress because it happened. Yeah.
And that's one I'm curious what she's up to. Or what the Empire wants to,
and
they gotta connect it to like Snoke or the Emperor somehow.
And you know, so a good way for them to do storytelling. There aren't any. They don't want you to sympathize with the Empire,
right?
So they're not going to give you an Empire character to follow. I mean, they get Dr. Hemlock, but. You're getting him in pieces with other characters that they want you to like sympathize with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not putting it from his perspective where you could be like, oh yeah, he's doing that for the right reasons. No, this dude's a crazy ass. You know, he's not doing anything for the right reasons. He's doing it for the Emperor. So when Crosshair was back with the Empire, you could go to him for a story because they want you to be sympathetic to him. And now he's inside the ranks, and you can kind of get a look of what's going on with the stormtrooper, the change to stormtroopers, and the attitude of the Empire and everything like that.
Yeah.
So if they take Omega back, Omega is going to be bait for Nala Se. Mm-hmm. They'll probably let her work with Nala Se or keep her like on a really, really short leash. To make Nala Se work, but what that'll let them do is tap into Omega periodically and be like, hey, let's follow up with her and see what she's up to. And that's going to get us in the door to see what's going on with this whole cloning project.
Yeah.
That's the only way they can do the storytelling.
Yeah. So
if they bring Crosshair out, they got to put someone back in, and they can put Omega back in safely. Because she's a bargaining chip with Nala Se, and they want Nala Se to do her job. So they're going to force her to do her job, and now Omega's there. You know, so that's... So that's... There's your hot take. That's what's going to happen. Omega's going to get swiped.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
But it makes sense, because how else do you get the Empire's viewpoint without putting a sympathetic character on the inside? I mean, to me, it makes logical sense. So,
and I was thinking about what do they want for the cloning thing? This just popped in my head. I saw a meme or something about Rey.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a meme about, yeah, how the Emperor was, you know, he was cloning himself, and that's how he had the daughter and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, like, is that maybe how they connect? Is she a Force-sensitive clone?
What?
Because, I mean, Palpatine, you know, I mean, he's got power and, you know, good to go, but I don't think he's going out banging chicks at the bar, you know what I mean, on Friday night over. Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You ever seen a Sith lightsaber? Maybe you will later on. Unlimited power. That was the moment, if you got what I'm
Oh my gosh. I mean,
he's at the cantina, signed up to the bar.
I mean, you know what I mean? I don't think, you know, after the sentence done, he's rolling up to downtown of Coruscant. You know what I mean? On West 5th in Coruscant. You know what I mean? He's not pulling up to the bar.
Well, especially not after he had the run-in with Mace Windu when he got all jacked up. Maybe before that.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I'm the senator in the Senate.
So Rey could be a product or Force-sensitive clone or product of one of the cloning experiments.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really
interesting. Because the Empire wants this cloning stuff or something. The Emperor wants it for something.
And it can't be just to make a whole bunch of Snokes to fake everybody out. That's just lame.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Where are they going with this? Because they're even touching on it in Mando too. So
that's if they want. That's if they want to build some weight or make the sequel trilogy significant.
Yeah, this is Kathleen Kennedy. Like,
that's guys. Assuming they want to. I mean, you see stuff on the internet to where they might make it Legends and not canon anymore. That's if they want to keep it canon.
So this is what I'm thinking. You got Kathleen Kennedy rolls in to Jon Favreau and is like, look, we did this whole cloning thing in the sequel trilogy. We really need you guys to like make it legit. And he like knocks on a door and Dave Filoni comes out and goes, fine, I'll save your ass. And then creates Dr. Hemlock and pulls Nala Se out and does all this shit in Bad Batch. And he's like, you're welcome.
I'm curious where they're going to go. Yeah. So did you see like earlier this week, they canceled couple of the movies that they had planned. Kevin Feige's movie was canceled. And freaking Rogue Squadron was canceled.
Oh, I didn't see Rogue Squadron. No. Yeah. Kevin Feige's movie.
Yeah.
Did it have a title?
No.
Or was it just like his project?
It was supposed to be his project, his Star Wars project.
Dang.
I think that was mainly because like he has too much shit going on with the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, and they're already trying to pull back on that. So I mean,
yeah.
Adding a Star Wars project to his plate, like, is that really the best thing for him to do? Probably not.
No, probably not.
You know.
Yeah.
And Rogue Squadron, personally, I wasn't really that excited about that anyway. So, I mean, I don't really care about that one. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm being honest. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Rogue Squadron. I mean, I would still go watch it because it's a Star Wars movie. But, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't really too, oh, my gosh. Can't wait. Yeah. I think what Star Wars is suffering from, and I've told you, we talked about it. The content on Disney Plus and the TV shows, they're outgunning the movies.
Yeah, and they They have good content, but they have lack of connectivity.
Yeah.
They don't, it's not I mean, yeah, it connects to the overall Star Wars universe, because that's, I think that's one of the big problems too, is there's so much time gap between things that they're trying.
There's so much to explore too.
Yeah, and they're trying to fill it, but the hard thing is they're having, so I could see, like, if they had, like, let's say, you know, they do Mando, and they're doing they did Andor. Let's say they did like Mando, and then they have Andor, and they have Bad Batch, and let's say like Bad Batch came out flat, and let's say Andor wasn't successful. It'd be like, okay, let's cut our losses there, and let's focus on one time period, post Return of the Jedi, before the sequel trilogy, and see if we can flesh that out a little bit better, and either make the sequel trilogy make sense or scrap it and go forward. But they're doing, like, they're having success in both areas.
You're having success in everything. Yeah.
But they can't tie it together, because it happens before the original trilogy and after. And it doesn't connect. The only way, I guess, they could do that, and that's another problem, is they have like, it's not like Bad Batch can creep up to Mando and, hey, let's tie it in. No, Bad Batch is, they're like milking it. They're like trying to make it last. Yeah. You know, if it was like, hey, we're doing three seasons of this and we're done, and like end of third season, they were like, where are they now? And boom, now they're on the other side of the original trilogy or something. Cool. That'd be cool. But they can't. They're keeping that going. So the chances of us seeing them show up in like a show like Mando or something like that are very slim.
They would be old by then, too.
They would, but they were old. Yeah. Remember in Rebels, they were old. Rex was old.
Yeah.
Okay. So
but
you
that's
would see
still him. That's still Empire, though. This is after Mando's after Empire. They would be even older.
Oh shit, that's right. Rebels is.
No, I mean, in Mando, yeah. In Mando, I mean, Rex is probably dead at that point. Well, because they have that accelerated growth factor.
Yeah,
because Rex was the old man. Yeah, Rex was the old man in Rebels, and that's Empire period.
That's true. But
later, like, Empire period, not like early Empire, like Bad Batch is.
But like, humor me, if for some reason they popped up in an episode of Mando.
Mm-hmm.
If let's just say, hey, they're still alive, they pop up in an episode of Mando.
I'm not saying they couldn't still be alive. Sure. They would just be old.
But if you saw them and you saw Crosshair, Tech, Wrecker, Hunter, older Omega, right there, you'd be like, hey, they all survived everything that happens in Bad Batch.
Yep.
And now you're watching Bad Batch and you're like, there's no sense of danger because they all come out on the other side. And like watching it now, you don't know. You don't know if like Tech dies or Crosshair doesn't make it, or, you know, whatever happens, you know. If you were to see them on the other side, you're like, oh, they all make it there. It's kind of like watching the prequel trilogy and you're like,
I was just going to say that. Like,
yeah, you know, Anakin's going to be Darth Vader. There's the Emperor. Padme doesn't last, you know, that because she's not ever seen again. The twins. Obi-Wan, you know, you know, looking at the cast of characters, you're like, these are the people who are in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
So there's no danger to them in any of this series of movies.
Yeah.
But then throw other characters in there that are like, you know, oh, hey, look, this guy. I don't even remember what his name is. Yeah, he's probably going to die. You know, like... it doesn't matter. Like doing Rogue One, maybe some of them could have survived, but you had that line in A New Hope where they said a lot of good people lost their lives to give us this information. You're like, yeah, that whole team probably dies.
Yeah.
But it was still a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
So that's my big beef is always doing a whole bunch of prequel stuff. before something, like going way off tangent, but you have Big Bang Theory, the movie or the show.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have Young Sheldon. If you're familiar, I don't know.
I never watched Young Sheldon, but I watched Big Bang
Theory. An episode pops up here and there, and I'll watch a little bit of it if I'm like doing dishes or just doing something around the house.
Yeah.
But my problem is at the beginning of Big Bang Theory, Sheldon is one way. And at the end of the series, he's had character development. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So you go Young Sheldon. Now you've got a character who has to be, at the end of that show, has to be as awkward and set in his ways and not developed as he is at the beginning of Big Bang Theory. Right. So how are you going to have this kid go through all this whole series of show, like a whole series, and you're going to tell me you're going to develop his character? You're going to develop his character past the start of Big Bang Theory. Because you can't just have him be like, oh, he learned nothing. Look, he's this way. You know, right at the beginning of Big Bang. So that's my problem is doing prequel stuff. If you try to do too much with it, if the character is one way at the beginning of the original stuff, you really only, you're limited on your character growth. So I don't like heavily involved prequel things.
I mean,
it's okay to dive back into it, out. I guess, but
I think if you're creative enough, you can figure it out.
And that's where I think Star Wars has done really well.
Yeah.
Honestly, because, and I wasn't knocking them at all. I was just using an example that I thought was like an example where it didn't work.
Yeah.
Because they just tried to like, hey, let's just do Sheldon when he's a kid. It's like, great. Now you have to develop him over all these years. He's got to learn stuff. And you're going to tell me that it's believable at the end of that show, he's going to be, really shallow with certain emotions. No, it doesn't make sense to me, but Star Wars has done it right. Like the prequel trilogy was fun to watch because you were watching it unfold. You were like, how did this happen? You know, how did Anakin become Darth Vader? Well, let us show you.
The prequel trilogy got, and you know this, it got aided very much so in the Clone Wars animated series.
And Clone Wars was fantastic.
Yeah, I think that, I think without Clone Wars, like, I didn't like the prequel trilogy as much until after I watched Clone Wars.
Same.
And then I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Now this stuff kind of like feels a little better. Like it feels better. Like it's better, you know, adapted in the whole story because Clone Wars just made it that way. Right.
I think another thing that I think kind of hurts Star Wars in a way is they went this whole route of being like, oh, there's only like two Jedi left. And now all of a sudden,
how are we getting all this? we're getting all these Jedi enforcers
through Clone Wars, through Bad Batch, through Rebels, through Mando, all Ahsoka.
So much for the Last Jedi and Return of Jedi. They're all over the place.
There's like tons of, but I think the important thing, and this may be a good argument for them, is in the Emperor's eyes, the Jedi were eradicated.
Yeah.
But the Jedi were smart and went into hiding.
Yeah.
To be like, because those stormtroopers, do you see anything over there? Nah, let's get out of here. You know, like, do you think they're really going to go dig for what they're getting paid or what to do? Do you think they're really going to dig real deep to look for something like that? No, they're not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they made it make sense. You know, it made sense that they would be around. Like, Clone Wars, at first I was like, oh, man, you've got Anakin with Ahsoka, and Ahsoka's present so much. How the hell do you not hear about her at all in Revenge of the Sith? Because she got exiled, and she left the Order and went off on her own. And Anakin probably never wanted to talk about her again because it was his greatest failing. Holy hell. That makes so much sense. That's why you'd never hear about her.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a fantastic job with that.
Yeah.
It's just hard to see, like, where's Bad Batch going? Are they keeping it going because these characters, cast of characters,
honestly, I probably don't even think they really know where they're going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do have an end point, though. You know,
yes, some point.
You know, you see Rex and Rebels. Does that mean that they're still kicking at that time, too?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after, well, I gotta show you this if I can find it again. I gotta show you this one article that theorized that one of the characters in Return of the Jedi was Rex.
Oh, no kidding.
I have to find that article.
So that's another hard thing too, because those characters, you're like, oh, well, if they existed, how come they never showed up? Well, because somebody created them way after the movie happened. Yeah. So of course you'd never hear of them. Like that's, I mean, here I am saying, well, why wouldn't they know about Ahsoka? Well, because Dave Filoni created Ahsoka and she wasn't even a thought back then, you know, like when they did the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Obviously, that makes sense.
And at that point, Luke wouldn't even have known about Ahsoka at that point, probably not yet.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, it's interesting where Bad Batch would be.
Right.
Like I said, they could exist. They'll just be really old. But I think they're probably going to leave themselves some room and flexibility with that.
Yeah.
I believe. I think you're going to see where this goes. Like, can we have a long run like Clone Wars, or is this like a, you know, kind of like a Rebels type deal where it's, you know, four seasons or something, whatever Rebels was.
Right. And if they keep going long enough with it, they're going to run into Rebels probably.
Yeah.
Which they can't do because.
But if they go shorter with. So if they have like a 3 or 4 season run, like you just said, the longer they go, the more they're going to run into Rebels, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If they go shorter, they leave themselves a lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
Like Rebels, for example.
Yeah.
It was a shorter run show versus Clone Wars, but look at the flexibility that they have. They can bring Ezra in the live action.
Yeah.
They can bring Thrawn in the live action. So if they leave Bad Batch with one kind of cliffhanger like Rebels did,
yeah,
they can leave the door open for stuff like Mando if they wanted to.
Right. I think that's
or even Andor, because that would run in that. No, never mind. Well, yeah, they would.
There are a lot of rebel cells out there that never connect.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
So they could have Andor somehow. Yeah, they could have a live action run in Andor.
Sure.
They would be younger. So that would actually be more, probably more better in their prime, quote unquote.
Yeah.
If they would have, if they were to go to live action, it would be in Andor.
And I mean, so, Omega's still young, and look at how Boba Fett is right now in Mando timeline. The age he is. Omega would be that age.
Yeah.
So maybe really Bad Batch's goal is to grow Omega to a point where she can be used later down the line.
Oh, I feel like that's happening. That's gotta
happen. They have to.
Because you don't set up the whole Alpha Omega thing and just leave it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. You don't just drop that bomb and just leave it there. Okay. Yeah. All right. Whatever. Fine.
Yeah. There's got to be something. If something doesn't come out of that, then I'm like, really, you guys?
Yeah.
So.
Well.
Giant tangent, but I think now it's...
But it was all Bad Batch.
Yeah. That was... Good talk.
And we had some Mando ties. It can lead us right into Mando.
Which I think is where we're going to go now.
Yeah. So.
This was still a pretty solid episode.
Oh, yeah. I love Bad Batch, but I still thought this. I also, so my Wednesday morning routine. So,
my God.
Wake up at like 5:30 in the morning, brew me a cup of coffee, and sip, you know, sip. You know, I got the double coffee, the super coffee, K-cups. So you get double the caffeine, you know, so.
We have a caffeine. We have a one of my buddies at work. This is like 15 years ago now. Jeez. Had a coffee. He did like a coffee blend with a couple things. Had a little bit of hot chocolate too, a coffee, something else. And he called it the Nitro. It's like your version of the Nitro.
Yeah.
You know, Nitro so is my, like boost. Like, give me that.
I get
boost.
My sippy sip and, I start with Mando, and then I roll in the Bad Batch, and Mando's pretty good. It was pretty good this week. We got a couple things. So things that stood out to me. Okay, here are the top 1, 2, 3 things for me in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number one. Grogu and how much his skills have improved with force wielding, about how he was able to escape and then go to Bo-Katan.
Yes.
And then force like force jump out of there and, you know, get in the ship and, you know, good to go.
Good thing they got that astromech.
Yes. What was the R2-D5? R4-D5, who was the astromech in New Hope, next to R2 and C-3PO when they got caught by the Jawas.
Same class. Good Lord, would that be funny if it was the same one?
I think it's the same one.
That'd be crazy.
I really think it's the same one. I can fire up the old Google machine in a minute, but I think it's the same one. So... that was number one that stood out. Number two that stood out, how freaking well Bo-Katan can wield the lightsaber and how Mando sucks at it.
And big time in this episode, this was a good Bo-Katan episode.
Oh, yeah. She lights it up.
Yeah, when she pulled that darksaber and then she popped up that shield, I went nuts.
Yeah.
I saw that shield, I was like, yes.
So, yeah, Bo-Katan. This was a Bo-Katan. Like, yeah, she's a badass. Mm-hmm. And she can wield the darksaber. But she, you know, she kind of like begrudgingly gives it back.
So,
yeah.
Couple things about that.
Oh, here, so here
you
we
know,
go.
You
I just
know,
poked a bear. I poked the bear.
No, not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. You know from Rebels that Sabine had it and was training with it, and then she gave it to Bo-Katan, and Bo-Katan had it, and she probably, I mean, from that point until now, she had a lot of experience with it.
Yep.
Actually using it as a badge of office and having to learn really quick how to use it.
Yep.
So that's why she's so good at it. And it was so cool to see her use it. And
it was awesome to see.
Yeah. She's a
badass. It was awesome to see somebody finally properly use it.
Yeah.
Moff Gideon didn't really properly use it. I mean, he used it, but like it wasn't like the way Bo-Katan did.
Right.
You know.
It was just pretty nice.
It was pretty Jedi-esque, you know.
Yeah.
So
I mean, she had a really solid episode. So I was talking with a friend of mine at work. He's like one of my best friends at work. And he watches Mando, and he was asking me, he comes over to my desk and he's like, So His name's Chris. And Chris is like, so we're watching Mando, and we were told we had to watch Book of Boba Fett. Now, he's not like a huge Star Wars fan, I'll put it that way. He just, he's enjoying Mando, right? So he goes, so we were told we had to watch Book of Boba Fett before watching season 3. So we watched it, and he's like, I had some questions and kind of wanted to know, like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how much time do you have? So I gave him the quick rundown of Clone Wars, where that went with Darth
quick
Maul.
Quick rundown of
Clone Wars. I mean, I'm telling you, this was like, this might have been like 15 minutes by the end of it, of talking, but the rundown I gave him was probably like 5 minutes. And it was like really high level, because you know it and I don't need to explain it to you. But I went the route of, you know, Clone Wars, Ahsoka, Darth Maul being alive, Darksaber. Boom.
Wow.
Got it. You know, it disappearing, coming back in Rebels, Sabine getting it, and Ezra being there. And I was like, Ezra's coming back. Just so you know, if you watch the Ahsoka show, you're going to see this kid and be like, who's that kid? That's Ezra. And how I told him about the whole controversy of Bo-Katan being gifted the Darksaber, losing it, and then being like, no, I need to win it in combat, you know? So I gave him like that whole rundown, and he was like, wow. I said, yeah. So I said, if you saw like Ahsoka and you saw Bo-Katan and you're seeing these characters and like, who the hell are these characters? They're from Clone Wars. And that's Dave Filoni. He's like, got it. Okay. So I brought up the whole thing with her with the Darksaber, because he was like, yeah, she picked that thing right up. And I said, yeah. And then she gave it back to him. And I was like, this was a perfect opportunity for her to be like, yeah, I'm going to keep this. And Mando probably would have just been like, fine.
Yeah. I've been trying to give you the thing years ago, bitch.
Yeah. you took it from me.
Damn.
Literally took it from me.
I tried to give you the damn thing. I tried to give you the damn thing 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't want it. Because you go, oh, I got to win in battle and all this other stuff.
Well, you kind of won it in battle because you saved my ass using it. So I think it's yours now.
Yeah.
But the other thing I brought up too was like, you know, in Book of Boba Fett, Mando's this like total igniting the world badass. And then like now, so far in 2 episodes, he's been like, oh, I got trapped. Help me. Go get Bo-Katan. And then he's like sucked into the water. Like, what happened there? Did the thing grab him and pull him down there? Or did he like step in the water and get like into like a gravity well or something? I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
There. Like, what the hell happened?
And that
dude
brings me to my third point. He starts reciting the creed and everything. Mm-hmm. He gets pulled down, and then Bo-Katan is like, oh shit, I got to go get him. And you know, she jumps in, blah, 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 you know, and then all of a sudden you see that eye and you're like, oh, the mythosaur.
Oh my God, it's real.
Oh yeah. And then it like cuts to black and I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah.
This was like, it was very symbolic because she was very much like stupid creed, stupid zealots, and you're chanting and pretending this is the way and keeping your helmet on and all this crap. And oh, the waters don't mean shit. And, you know, oh, mythosaur, whatever. And she dives in the water and comes out like, oh my God, the mythosaur is there. It was a baptism for her.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And also a realization, like she's going through a period where, especially when she goes with Grogu to go get Din Djarin, like she's going through the ruins of her home.
Yeah.
And like, that's gotta be, for anybody, that would be like depressing.
Oh yeah.
Like even like, you know, I grew up, you know, where the neighborhood where I grew up has like deteriorated so much. Like I haven't been back to the house that I grew up in like probably like, I think the last time I drove by that place was like 6, 7 years ago. Just because like the neighborhood is just so crappy now, and it's just so crime infested, and like all the older, like when I grew up on that street, like there were a lot of older people, so they took pride in like how the front yard looked and stuff like that. And you know, most of those people have, you know, passed away, and you know, now the people don't really give a shit about it. And so it's depressing, like going down that street and looking at my old house. So I just don't do it. Like I said, it's been like a good 6, 7 years since I've been. So she's probably feeling the exact same way. You know, well, even more so because, you know, she was royalty. You know, her family ruled it.
And it happened
So,
under her watch.
yeah. You know?
And it wasn't that long ago. Like I think Amanda even made a point of saying, like, this looks like this was like hundreds of years ago. And she's like, no, this was recent.
Yeah. So she goes from that to seeing the Mythosaur, and in the lore or the creed or whatever, like, you know, that being kind of represents the rise of a new era of Mandalore. So she goes from like, oh, this is my used to be home, and it deteriorated and it got destroyed under my watch. Then to this, holy shit, here's this thing that's been like a legend, a folk legend, and it's real. So there could be a new age of Mandalore that could be real. And like you can see that shock, like even without her removing her helmet, like you can see it in her face with her helmet on, basically.
I know what you mean too. Is that
She's like, what the
stare?
bleep? Like, oh, all right. So,
And it's interesting because it's just ignited something in her like that, like I can do this.
yeah.
We can do this. And I think another big thing like that's kind of paralleling is looking at how High Magistrate Karga how what he's done in a short period of time for his city and his planet, and
Yeah.
it's like it can be done. It's gonna take a lot of work, but they could do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a lot in that episode. There was a lot of it, I think what made it like saying that the Bad Batch episode was you liked it better. This episode was so there was a decent amount of action, I'd say, but there
Yeah.
was a lot of exposition. But the exposition was deep and it built from the first episode into this episode up to that point of going in the waters. And was kind of like, okay, here we are, you know? Like this is the meat of the episode. It all built to this point.
Yes. I just I just wait. So R5D4, that is the same droid.
R5D4.
That is the same droid as New Hope.
Okay. I didn't know if there was just a whole bunch of R5s on the line, kind of like you'd look out like and be like, "Hey, that's a Chevy Malibu," you know. They just crank out Chevy Malibus, like they
Yeah.
crank out R5D4s, or do they crank out R2D2s, and it just happened that our R2 is the one that, you know,
Yeah.
is the legend.
This is the same one. The legend that almost went home with the Skywalker family.
Makes it even funnier.
So yeah, he's being redeemed, right? Which, in a way, is kind of funny because like he breaks down before he goes with Luke Skywalker, and that's how Luke gets R2. And then like before he goes on this mission, he's like scared, you know.
Yeah.
To go.
So he was. Yeah, that
this
that's
is a character
Tatooine,
arc.
And Kelly probably got that from the Jawas, and the Jawas had R5. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is after that. So that thing's been kicking around.
Yeah, and she's apparently banging Jawas. So, you know, she got...
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? I'm not lying. I'm not lying.
No, you're
said
not.
It in season two. Like,
and I, once again, cool to see her back. But it was so funny how she's like fleecing that dude. And the roadie, and he walks away, and she's like, "Hey, get those Jawas in here. Fix this thing quickly. You got all the parts, right? And here's your money." Like, she's fleecing people. Like, "Oh, sure, I'll fix your unit. I'll fix your ship. That's fine. I'm the one who stole the parts."
Right.
Oof.
Hey, can't knock the hustle.
But then, But then Mando rolls in, and she's all of a sudden like, "Oh, Mando, yeah, you can trust me." And he's like, "Yeah, I know I can." Because she's honest with him for some reason. She just fleeces everyone else.
And it's cool to like Grogu like jumped in her arms.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like you know how Grogu started to like mumble a couple things in this episode too. So
we
wonder
if words.
I wonder if we might get words this season by the end of it out of Grogu.
So I'm nervous about that.
Uh-oh.
Because it's got to feel right.
It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, but it's like everyone's going to expect
like they already teased it with this episode. He started to mumble a little something. So
I think everybody's going to expect Yoda talk. And it shouldn't be that way.
No. There was like a couple articles that explained why Yoda talked the way he talked.
I brought it up last week.
Yeah.
About how I mentioned how like because how old he was.
Yeah.
When he learned to speak, there was a certain way of speaking. And he just always talked that way.
Yeah.
Like if you had someone from like medieval times come to now and start talking, you'd be like, does this dude make sense? You know, like why is he talking all goofy?
Yeah, no, it's not gonna be Yoda talk.
Oh, I
think it would be people would be stupid. Whoa. Let me take that back.
Wait a second, did I say that?
The rational person would understand that he wouldn't talk the way Yoda talks because he wasn't raised basically by Yoda.
Right.
Right? I mean, obviously he was at the Jedi Temple, so I mean, he has encountered Yoda. Yoda.
Yeah.
Right? But I mean, like, his family, like, the person who he considers, like, his father is Mando. So, like, you learn to speak and talk, you know, from your family.
Right.
And you adapt their mannerisms, their vocabulary, like, their slang, like, their accent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You talk like them.
Yeah.
So he's gonna talk like the people he's been around.
And you know the casual fan's gonna be like, why baby Yoda no talk like Yoda?
Yeah.
First of all, he's not baby Yoda, he's Grogu. Second of all, what we just said.
Yeah. So
why he no sound like Yoda?
You know, it would really be hilarious. Like, uh-oh. I would just fall out of the floor laughing if Grogu just start talking and it's like Frank Castle. That would That
I gotta get out of here, Pelly.
Get out if you really must.
Wow.
I think this is how we know we're getting close to the end of the show.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yep. Can I get another Frank Castle? I mean, that's.
I gotta get out of here, Minotti. That's the only line I do, too.
I can't wait till that show comes.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yeah. So.
But no.
I saw a post that apparently next week's episode of Mando is supposed to be the longest one of the series.
Oh.
Supposed to be like 57 minutes or something like that.
So when you take into account the intro and the end credits, it'll be 45.
Be that as it may, still the longest episode.
Yes. That's cool. So,
you know, I hope it's... That's what the old internet machine told me.
I hope it's... So, we've had two solid episodes. Okay.
Yeah.
We're due for an exposition heavy. Well, we kind of hit an exposition heavy episode already. I feel longer episodes have bulkier and more involved dialogue scenes because they're trying to fit a lot into an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, shorter episodes tend to be more quick paced and action.
Yeah, let's get this. Let's get it. Let's go.
So I'm wondering if they're going to get out of the mines and she's going to be all like hyped up and like, let's go get the troops. Let's do this. And it's going to be a lot of them zipping around the galaxy, grabbing, you know, finding all the Mandalorian, which are now basically what she called them, bounty hunters. Or mercenaries, yeah. Trying to find all these mercenary troops and rein them all in. So they're like going to be like herding sheep, basically. Like, let's go grab them, bring them back together, and we're going to get our army back together, basically.
Wait a minute. I fired up the old IMBD machine.
Mm.
And, according to IMBD, now, next week's episode is going to be a little shorter than what this past week at 40 minutes versus 42. Really? So somebody's lying.
Yeah.
Okay. Either the old internet machine.
No.
Which the old internet machine always tells the truth.
Yes, 100%. What are you talking? I trust what the internet says with
blind
belief.
Or IMBD is mistaken. So one of the two.
I would think if it's on there, it's more official.
IMBD.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I could type up an article right now and say the next week's episode is going to be 2.5 hours. And I could put a few pictures of like Mando and Grogu and just place them in the article. And
I feel like say, that's sources literally what say, I that's literally what I saw. I
yeah. It would be sources say, and I wouldn't even describe a source. I would just say sources from the Star Wars camp say 2.5 hours and post it. People would be like, "Well, you got 2.5 hour episodes. It's gonna be freaking amazing!" And then it would be like 40 minutes, and they'd be like, "What the hell, man? You said 2.5 hours. We believed you."
Yeah. So yeah, disregard what I just said about that long episode. Yeah,
you know, It would be funny though if they put that out and someone's like, hey, Disney Star Wars executives heard we're gonna get a long episode this week, huh? That's what we heard. And the guys in this world be like, nah, we need a short one. F them. Yeah. They want a long episode this week? No, F them. Give them a short one. Just cut like 15 minutes out of it. Add more credits. F them.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, how many episodes of Mando do we get? Is there not? Is there an 8 or 9? 9.
Oh, I just had 8.
Okay, so we're
chapters 17 through 24.
Yeah, so we're gonna be episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're not quite halfway there yet. We're just shy halfway. Bad Batch is gonna have. Let's see. That was episode 12 this week. So we got 13, 14. We got 4 more, so 3 more weeks of Bad Batch.
Yep.
Because the 15 and 16 will be released at the same time.
Yep.
So 4 more episodes, 3 more weeks. That gives them 2 episodes to... I hate that I'm going to say this, but this next episode is probably going to be a stupid Sid mission. Episode 14 will be... raising the stakes with Crosshair by the end of the episode, and 15 and 16 will be the finale.
Yeah.
So
month of March.
Yeah.
That's it for Star Wars.
Yeah. So 3 more weeks of Bad Batch, and then we've got 5 more weeks of Mando. So cool beans.
Yep.
All right. Well,
boys and girls.
Yeah, this was on the short end of episodes for us.
By short end, like hour and a half.
Quite an hour and a half.
Wow.
Our episodes seem to be lately be like 2 hours minimum.
Well, that's because we start, talked about
Frank Castle,
the Browns, and then the Guardians, and
yeah, tangents yeah. Galore.
We didn't go on too many tangents today.
No, we went on some.
We went on some, but sometimes we get out there.
Yeah, we did a little side mission while our ship was being pursued by the Empire. We were able to light speed away and get back, undetected. I will not miss an opportunity to slam Last Jedi.
You will not. Jeez. Why don't you just let that movie live in its glory?
No. No. No.
I'm really wondering if they're going to really keep this canon. Because they have danced around the sequel trilogy for so long, ever since it's been over. And yeah. Are they going to ignore it? Are they going to figure out a way to build some weight into it like they did with the prequels? What are we doing here?
It doesn't matter. Someone's going to try and kill it, and they'll just bring it back to life and force fly it back on board.
Wow. Okay. All right. It's time to go. It's time. Wow.
The hate is strong in this one.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. Well. That about wraps it up for us. So we'll see. We'll talk to you next episode. We'll have another Bad Batch and Mandalorian double feature.
Yep. All double features in March.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wonderful. So. For Bullseye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake. And
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.